Join us now for an encouraging word from our executive pastor, Clint DeGroot. Here's the message.
Come on, boys and girls. Can everybody say on the count of three, Merry Christmas? One, two, three.
Merry Christmas!
Okay, so what I want you to do is about 5 o'clock in the morning, tomorrow morning, I want you to go to your parents' room and at the top of your lungs, say as loud as you can,
Merry Christmas!
Or as they used to say in the orphanage that I grew up in, Feliz Navidad. How many of you love Christmas? I mean, it is your like favorite holiday all year long. Can somebody tell me what you especially like the most about Christmas? What do you like the most about Christmas? Oh, she likes Jesus the most about Christmas. And what do you like?
Jesus.
Me too.
Jesus and presents.
Carson, what are you going to get for Christmas this year? A new dress? Okay. What would you like for Christmas this year? Family. Aww. What would you like for Christmas? A hatchet? Security, please report to the stage. Security. Well, the greatest present and the greatest gift that the world has ever received at Christmas time was the gift of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I get the wonderful privilege of reading that story to you. So let's begin the greatest story ever told. Do y'all see? So here we go. Mary was at home when a mighty angel came. She was so scared, but he said, "Yo, Gabriel is my name. Do not be afraid. God is sending you his son. He will live on earth, and you will be his mom." Thank you, sir. I appreciate the laughter. Are you related to Renee Leha? So your cousin, said Gabriel, will have a son too. When Mary saw Elizabeth, she was so glad it was true. The angel told Joseph to make Mary his wife, to raise God's son together, and to support him through life. But soon the Roman rulers gave a great command. A count of all the people would take place across the land. Joseph was from Bethlehem, so there he had to go. Mary traveled with him, but the trip was long and slow. Because, boys and girls, Joseph knew a shortcut. Bethlehem was packed, and not one inn had space. So Mary and Joseph slept in the animal's place. What sound does your favorite animal make? Okay, I don't think he was in the manger that day, but let's give a big hand for the monkey. Mary had her son, and as he did not have a bed, she put him in a manger where the animals were fed. An angel had told Joseph what to name the little boy. They called the baby Jesus, as they were filled with joy. While Bethlehem's people were in bed, fast asleep, shepherds in the fields watched over the baby sheep. Suddenly, a light shone down on the frightened men, and angels told them of the child born in Bethlehem. The shepherds ran from the fields to find this child. When they saw the scene, they stopped and they smiled. Mary was surprised, but let the shepherds see, someday he will set all the people free. Far away, some very wise men by the name of Travis, Tom, and Greg came to see baby Jesus. History says that as wise as Tom and Travis was, Greg was the wisest of them all. Far away, some wise men saw a star, huge and bright. They set out to follow it on that very night. The wise men, Tom and Travis and Greg, they found the place where the star shone overhead. Mary let them in to see Jesus in his bed. They gave him special gifts given to kings of old, frankincense and myrrh, and a box of precious gold. Jesus grew up to be an amazing, perfect man. He died for our sins, as had always been God's plan. And Mary thought of those who were there at Jesus' birth. They knew even then that he would save the earth. Can we put our hands together and give Jesus a great big thank you for giving us the gift of his love? Now, because you guys were so good, we are going to give each and every one of you a candy cane filled with a special kind of candy. So special is this candy, it's kind of a gift to your mom and dad. If you'll eat it right before you go to bed, you're going to sleep through the whole night. Doesn't that sound exciting, mom and dad? And so tomorrow, after you get done opening your presents and your parents ask you, they ask you what you want to do, tell them this, okay? Tell them, Mom, Dad, can we all sit down and watch a Hallmark movie together? Can you do that, boys and girls? Repeat after me, Hallmark movie. Can you give your babies a big hand as they now stand to their feet? And you know, Christmas changed everything. Not the trees, not the lights, not the ugly sweaters, but the manger that held the Savior of the world. It changed everything, the way that we viewed the world. Changed the way we even recorded our time. It flipped it upside down. Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new is here. I love the Christmas story. I love Luke chapter 2, but today I want to take us to Matthew chapter 2. For we find the story of three wise men, the Magi, those that came from the east, and they probably didn't make it on that night. Historians would say that would be a little bit later in Jesus' life, but it says this in verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and Jerusalem with him. When he called all the people together, all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of people, of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Isn't it crazy that on Jesus' birth, light came into the darkness? Jesus proclaimed that he was the light of the world. Matter of fact, the first thing God ever said and spoke into this world was, let there be light. So they heard, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it was stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by a different way. Here's what I want to say to you on this Christmas Eve. When you encounter Christ, when you have an encounter with Jesus, you go home a different way. Now, the three kings might have just been a geographical difference. They might have went back home a different way on their route. But in my Bible, I see after the encounters of Christ, people leave different. Old ways gone, new ways have come.
I think of in Acts chapter 9, this man by the name of Saul, breathing out threats upon the church. The way is what they called it. Those people that followed Jesus. Matter of fact, this man, Saul, oversaw the first killing of a Christian. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was stoned, and he was the one presiding over the death. And this guy by the name of Saul was on his way to Damascus with papers in his hands to imprison Christians. When all of a sudden, a bright light shone around about him. And it was Jesus. He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And this encounter with Christ changed everything about this man, Saul. He went from being the prosecutor of the church to the promoter of the church. And in one moment's time, he went from Saul to what we know him as, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. He was blinded for 3 days. Why was he blinded? I believe Jesus was saying, "Look, I want you to blot out. I'm going to blot out all of your past. I don't care where you've been. I care about where you're going and what you'll do for me." See, an encounter with God changed the way he went home. In Matthew chapter 9, this lady had been battling for 12 years an issue, a medical issue. And she had gone from doctor to doctor and spent all of her money trying just to have a different way of life, trying to get the healing that she so desperately needed. And she heard that Jesus might be coming through her town. So she thought, maybe if I can just have audience with Jesus, maybe not even a big encounter, but if I can just touch the hem of his garment, maybe I can leave different. Maybe I can go home a different way. See, in the law of their time, this lady, because she was subject to bleeding, was considered unclean, and therefore she couldn't be around anybody. She was lonely. She didn't have anyone to do Christmas with. She didn't have anyone to gather around and just kick it with. But she said, "You know what? I'm going to go against law today. And I'm going to go where the crowd is because I know where that Jesus might be." And she pushed her way through the crowd just to touch. She touched the hem of his garment, and it caused Jesus to stop. And she was like, "Who touched me?" And the disciples were like, "Jesus, man, there's hundreds of people around you. Man, everybody's touching you." "No, no, 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 no. Someone has encountered me and my power." And the lady who had been subject for 12 years, "It was me, Jesus." In that moment, she knew something was different. Because at the moment she touched, the moment she had an encounter with God, the moment she had an audience with Jesus, she was different. And Jesus looked at her and said, "Your faith has healed you. Go home different." When she came unclean, she left clean and healed, never the same. An encounter with Jesus can cause you to go home different. This young lady was sitting at Jacob's well. In John chapter 4, we find the story, and Jesus was on his journey, and he was tired and he was thirsty. He came to this well, and this woman who had been married 5 times and was living with a 6th man, she hadn't married yet, Jesus comes up and asks her for a drink. "Can you give me a drink of water?" Taken back because he was a man. And he was a Jew, and Jews and Samaritans didn't coexist and associate with each other. It's like, why are you asking me for a drink? You're a Jew. Jesus, knowing what he's doing, said, if you only knew, if you only knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink. Because I am the living water, and you'll never thirst again. And in her natural thinking, she's like, oh, I want some of that. I'm tired of coming to this well. And in this moment, in this dialogue, for the first time, Jesus answers the question that she asks, well, our writings say that there will be a Messiah that comes to this land to save us. For the first time, Jesus says, that's me. I am who they write about. With her past and her history and her current situation and sin and everything that she was dealing with, she left different. And she went to her town and she told everybody about the man who told her life story. And because of that, Jesus stayed 2 extra days, and the Bible says, with many words, and so if you don't like long preaching, I'm sorry, we're going to just go with Jesus today. With many words. It said, those in that city believed. One encounter with Jesus can change everything. One encounter with Jesus changes everything. In Luke chapter 23, we find Jesus at the pinnacle of what he came to do. In Luke chapter 23, we find 3 crosses and the stage of eternity set. Jesus dying for the sins of the world. But he had enough energy for one more encounter on that cross. 2 thieves were on his left and right. One of those thieves leans forward and looks at Jesus. He says, man, if you were truly the Son of God, if you saved everyone, why don't you save us? The other thief, I can just imagine it, leans probably a little bit more forward and looks at the other thief and says, shut your mouth, F. That's the King James Version. Fool, shut your mouth. This man here, he hasn't done anything wrong. You and I, we deserve this death. We are rightfully judged. But this man, nothing. Then the encounter happens. This thief on the cross pulls his eyes from the other thief and puts them on Jesus. I bet Jesus looks into his eyes and looks into his soul. The thief just says a simple phrase. Ask a simple question. There's not a call to the altar. There's not a 3-step prayer. There's not 3 classes that you have to attend. But all he says is this. Jesus, will you remember me in your kingdom? And Jesus says today, not tomorrow, not when I come back, now, when I die and I raise again, he doesn't give them all the doctrine, doesn't give them all the teaching, but he says today, 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 you will be with me in paradise. So you're telling me on one moment, on one encounter, this man who probably lived a life that was destined for hell, this man who did wrong, didn't live his life the right way? Are you telling me one moment with Christ, one encounter with God, gave him the opportunity to go home a different way? So a man that was destined to go to hell in a moment with Christ was in paradise because of one encounter. The three wise men encountered baby Jesus and left a different way. Maybe today, on this Christmas Eve, maybe today in your life, maybe today is the day that you encounter God, that you encounter Christ. For me, it was June 7th, 1998. It changed my path forever. Maybe for you, it's December 24th, 2017. But I believe you can go home a different way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, you are so amazing. I thank you, Lord Jesus, God, for the opportunity that you give each and every one of us, that we might encounter your love, your grace, your mercy in such a powerful way that we can leave different. The old is gone. Behold, the new is here. And Father, tonight or this morning on this Christmas Eve, I pray, Lord, that this Christmas Eve would be like no other, that your presence would cause us to leave different. We honor you, and we praise you, and everyone said, amen. Hear the angel voice.
Would you please stand as we get prepared to dismiss this morning? Thank you, Michael Fogg. I believe he is the Josh Groban of Dominion Church. That was beautiful. What the Star Spangled Banner means to America, that song, O Holy Night, that means to us as believers. It gives us such hope and such strength. Well, this morning, before you leave and you begin your Christmas holidays, we want to speak a blessing over your life. It comes out of a moment that took place at Walmart last night for us. The moment began there, but it didn't end there. As we were Walmarting, we were headed towards the area where your home can be improved in one easy purchase. And what I mean by that is my wife informed me that our spare bedroom needed a bed in a bag. And 8 pieces in a bag later, we were able to go home and redecorate our spare bedroom. And we had the 2 pillows off the bed that were originally there, and they were enough for the shams, but not enough for the pillows. And Dina looked at me and she said, man, we were a couple pillows short, and it was then that we realized we were the recipients of some My Pillows from the Lindale Foundation during Hurricane Harvey. So I went out to the garage where we had our My Pillows, and we grabbed them, took them in the house, took them out of the bag. And how many of you know a believer is the founder of that company? And he was very generous during the hurricane, and that will make sense in a moment, along with the scripture that you see in front of you, that will be spoken over to you today as a blessing. So we take the pillows out of the bag, and they are like flat as a pancake, and I'm thinking, how is this going to improve my life, my pillow? I need something more. 15 minutes later in the dryer, it does make a difference, but what came out of the pillow was a scripture verse. And on one of those verses, it said, and we know that in all things, what kind of things? All things. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. In our kitchen, in that bed in a bag preparation stage, we found hope. We found strength. And this morning, we want to speak that over you in the form of a blessing. And so we like to raise our right hand. Would you join us, please, as this morning we bless your heart and your home. From our heart to yours, we bless your home. We bless you in the midst of all your things. May you run and not be weary. May you walk and not faint. But in the days ahead, may you get your wings back, and may you mount up and soar over the enemy that has come in like a flood. May this day you be blessed with strength, with wisdom, with unconditional love, and with lots of patience. And all the moms and dads said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas. We'll see you New Year's Eve.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.